the tablets of flesh, indelibly written by the finger of God in your life, the instruction and the direction, so you can walk with the mantle and the anointing of God to fulfill the call and the purpose of God in this hour. But what happens, our hearts can get overcrowded. Our hearts can get so overcrowded with our own thoughts, our own desires, our own ambitions, or whatever, our own worries, our own stress, that we leave our mountaintop and we run back to our problem and we're saying, God, help me with my problem, yet your solution to your problem is on the mountain. It's in a place of rest. Amen? Are you with me? Exodus 34:29 says, and so it was when Moses came down from the mountain and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand, that he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that his skin on his face shone while he talked with Aaron. And so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. You see, when you're in the presence of God and the anointing of God is given to you by instruction and you have a mantle of God to be the Redeemer, something happens in your life. When from the presence of God, something occurs in you that you not necessarily recognize, but others see. He went up one way, but came back different. Come on now. He went up as one type of man, but came back as a different type of man. He had a glory on him. He never knew he had the glory on him. Probably didn't have mirrors in them days, I don't know. He didn't have a compact, I don't know. But he couldn't see what was upon him, and that's the humility of God. He'll change someone that you don't recognize the change in yourself, but others see a change in you. Amen? So he comes down as a different man. God wants to change us with the fire of God to bring us into a place becoming different to where I was before. But it will cause the fire and the mountain experience to get me there. We sung a song this morning, Lord, I want to drink from your cup. Do you really? Because someone said to him, Lord, can we drink of your cup? And he actually rebuked them. Then all of a sudden he said, yes, you will. In other words, you're going to experience death like me. You're going to experience a cross just like me. So when you say, Lord, I want to drink from your cup, you're saying, Lord, I want to carry my cross like you carried it. Lord, I want to sacrifice my life like you sacrificed it. Lord, I want to drink from your cup. It's not a cup of wine saying, I'm going to get tipsy and I'm going to get happy. That's not the cup he was talking about. In fact, in the garden, he said to his father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. And then we're singing a song, I want to drink from your cup. Anyway, praise the Lord. Right? So Moses came down shining upon him. There was a shining, there was a change in him. Something shone on him and through him, and he never knew it. And that's the anointing. See, the anointing will work through you and in you, yet you won't even know it. You can touch people, you can reach people, you can speak to people through word of knowledge, through a prophecy, and you might know what you're even saying, but God is speaking through you. Amen? There should come a shining out of us from the presence of God. There should be a change in my disposition. There should be a change in my dispensation. There should be a change in my face. I shouldn't go around mopey-dopey. I have a reason to smile. I have a reason to be happy. I have a reason to rejoice. And his name is Jesus. For the goodness of God. We sung the other song this morning, didn't we? The goodness of God. Amen. He carried something. He revealed something. He was not the man that climbed to the mountain. He didn't know it, but others saw it. Hallelujah. All the glory to Jesus. Amen. All the glory to Jesus. Moses came down with a word and an anointing. He received a word. That word kept him. That word upheld him. That word instructed him. Amen. You want to hear a word? Don't come to a prayer line. Get to your mountain. Get to your mountain and wait until a rest develops in your spirit. Hallelujah. And then you'll have a clarity. But sometimes you mightn't like to hear what he's got to say. But if he's asked you to do something, he'll grace you with the anointing to do it. Do you believe that? He was mantled by the Lord as the deliverer. This mantle, this anointing shows the change in one's life. The anointing brings change in your life. The anointing of God brings change in your life. The weight of the anointing brings change in your life. The cost of the anointing will bring change in your life. It is not something flimsy, not something flippant to even consider. There is something weighty. Hear me. It cost Jesus his life to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit couldn't come in the weightiness of who he was until he first left. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away in the Gospel of John. It's to your advantage I go away that I might send you the helper, the comforter, the anointing, the anointed one. Amen. The mantle of God. Because that's who he is. He was mantled by the Lord's deliverer. This mantling, this anointing, this shows change in one's life. It's the anointing that reveals. It's the anointing that empowers. And it's the anointing that equips. It's the anointing that reveals. It's the anointing that empowers. It's the anointing that equips. This mantle upon Moses was passed onto Joshua through the laying on of hands. God said to him, pass on this mantle off you unto him. And Moses had to lay hands on him. Then he had another mountaintop experience, Moses. You've got to understand God that you can walk up. He says, get up to this mountain and die. That's what he said to Moses. Go on the top of that mountain and die. I would probably take the longest walk. I'd probably go around that mountain for a few years. But he said, get up the mountain and die. Such was his confidence and trust, he could do it. Amen. Laying out of hands, a man called Elijah caught the mantle from a man called Elijah. He caught it. Something fell from heaven when he was caught up. Amen. Do we remember that story? Elisha, the servant of God, was serving the man of God, Elijah, and he said to him this. He says, what do you require? He asked him to stay in a place called Gilgal, first of all. Then he asked him to stay at a place called Bethel, which is the house of God. Then he asked him to stay at a place called Jericho. Might be the other way around. Jericho, which means fragrance. Amen. He said, not so. I will not leave you. Even though the sons of the prophets were saying, do you not know your master's going to be taken this day? Do you know you can be in a place like the house of God and the fragrance of God and know the word of the Lord, but not follow the word of the Lord? And I just want to clarify something. It doesn't say school of the prophets. It says sons of the prophets. You can't be taught to be a prophet. You're born a prophet. You're born a prophet. You don't choose the calling. The calling chooses you. Do you hear what I'm saying? The calling chooses you. You've got to pick it up. But the calling chooses you. You can't go to God and say, I want to be an apostle today. No, he doesn't play that game. No, I've changed my mind. That doesn't suit me today. I think I'll be a pastor. Oh, no, that's too hard. I'll be an evangelist. No, I don't like talking. You can't choose. You can't choose. So Elijah, something fell from Elijah while he was taken up to heaven. Something fell down. Elijah said to him, what you've asked is a hard thing. Do you remember those words? What you have asked is a hard thing. Was it hard for God to give Elisha the mantle? No. Was it hard for Elisha to let go of the mantle? Was it hard for him? He was going to heaven. He didn't need a mantle. What was hard about getting the mantle? It was hard because Elisha had to believe by faith. That's why when he went to the Jordan, smote it, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He had to believe by faith that he had going to receive something, and not just something, he was going to receive a what? Double, a son's portion, a first son's portion. My Bible says that my God has given us the Spirit without measure. Please don't ask for a double portion, you're limiting God. Ask for everything that is entitled to you so you can be what you need to be in this hour. Amen? So the servant of Elijah was clothed with the same mantle and power. The mantle dropped from Elijah. Elisha picks it up. He wraps himself around the mantle and he walks. Then he rolls it up and he smites the waters. And the river was called the river what? I'm going to provoke you this morning. The River Jordan. What does Jordan represent? Death. Jesus was caught up, just like Elijah. The Holy Ghost hadn't fell until Jesus was first caught up. Is that right? It says, wait in Jerusalem. And they went to where did they go? Upper room, in the upper place. They were waiting in their Jerusalem, in the upper room. And all of a sudden there was sounds of wind and there was fire coming down. The same experience that Moses got on the mountaintop. And all of a sudden, these men that went up there came down as different men. Something happened in the transition, just like Moses, in the presence of God. They came down from a fearful, frightened, worried group of people to a people that had great boldness, great authority, great power, because God met them and peace came upon them and he changed them. And all of a sudden, something happened in their life. They picked up, just like what Elisha picked up, the mantle of Christ. Because the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit, is the mantle of Christ. And just like Elisha received the mantle of Elijah and did the works of Elijah, and he even said he did greater works than these, he actually did double the amount of works and miracles of Elijah. Jesus said this, and greater works of these than you, greater works than you, greater works? Yeah. You will do greater works than me. In other words, the anointing on your life will give you the capacity to do a greater amount of works just like Elisha. The mantle of Jesus Christ is on your life. Hear me. I want that to echo in your spirit this morning. The mantle of Jesus Christ is on your life. To do what? To fulfill the commission that he was sent forth to do. He has released the Holy Ghost with a mantle that has authority, that has power to release you from the norm and the mundane. So you come down from your mountain with him and you're changed and transformed and reveal a glory in Christ that will shine, that will bring people to him, because you will draw them. They will see a difference when the mantle is on your life. Do you believe that this morning? Christians are not a defeated people. Christians are full of the power and the authority of God, but you must know you have a mantle. You have the mantle of Christ. Glory to God. Jesus was baptized. He was mantled. He was clothed. He was encompassed in the Holy Spirit. And he walked with power and authority. When God in heaven opened heaven and heaven spoke, something fell upon him called the person of the Holy Ghost. And he says the word baptismo literally means to be submersed and be enclosed with. It's surrounded with. That word, that's literally, he was clothed with the mantle of his Father and commissioned to do the work. Amen? Who's been baptized in the Holy Ghost? If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a heebie-jeebie, funny-feeling thing. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is God releasing the mantle of Christ upon your life to fulfill the commission and the direction that you've received from your mountaintop experience to do and fulfill the great commission and to see his kingdom come on earth, that the world might see the Christ in the hope of what will they see? His glory on you. Just like they saw the face of Moses shine, they're going to see something shining in you in the midst of your trouble. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have an anointing. It isn't a feeling. It isn't just something that happens now and then. You carry it. You are a well of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Can I have another 3 minutes? I've got another 2 hours, but take 5 minutes. Okay. I'm trying to get as many words in as I can at the moment. Jesus said to his disciples, to your advantage, I go away in John 16. 2 Kings chapter 2. Like Elijah, Jesus was caught up and received by heaven. And like Elijah, something fell after he was caught up. Amen. Like Elijah, he picked up what was fell from heaven and wrapped himself in the mantle of Elijah. He became a different man. He became a different man. He was asked to stay in two places. One was called Bethel. One was called Jericho. Bethel means the house of God. He said, I'm not staying here. Something had happened in Bethel at that time. Jeroboam, the king at the time, had set up a golden calf in the middle of the house of God. There was two golden calves set up by Jeroboam. One was in a place called Dan, from the tribe of Dan, whose name means judge. In other words, he set up false idols and false gods so he could confuse the wisdom of God and bring false judgment into the house of God. In other words, what he was trying to say is, do as you feel and don't worry about the laws of God. Do as you think and don't worry about the law of God. And they served the golden calf. In Bethel, what they had done is they set up an altar with a golden calf on it, just like the same old golden calf that came forth out of the fire with Aaron. And they brought confusion into the house of God. And they were ruled then by their own feelings, and they were ruled by their own desires. And all of a sudden, instead of obeying the commandments of the Lord, they were obeying their own lust, they were obeying their own flesh, they were obeying their own wisdom, and they were obeying their own ways. So he didn't want to stay there. But when he got on the mantle, when he was mantled, the first place he went back to after he crossed his Jordan and wouldn't allow his past to dictate to him, he hit Jericho. Jericho means fragrance. But it was barren. In fact, the Bible says its waters were poisoned. Its well was poisoned. Amen? Its well was poisoned. Nothing was growing. Instead of having fruitfulness, there was barrenness. Because whenever you set up something that shouldn't be there and you start to worship things that you shouldn't worship, and I'm not just talking about, per se, a golden calf, but, you know, sometimes we can submit ourselves to our own ways of thinking, and we can allow our souls to dominate us instead of the Word of God. And instead of obeying the commandments of the God and the direction and the instruction of the Spirit, we've obeyed the direction and the instruction of my feelings. Has anyone ever done that? Yeah, of course I have. And to be honest, all you have. All right? And so what I've done then is not being led by the Holy Ghost. And so what happened was, then that well needed to be healed. And so what Elisha did when he went back in the power of the anointing and the mantle, he threw in salt. My Bible says if salt loses its saltiness, it's worth nothing. Salt is the word, the truth, the word of the Lord. And what he did, he stood for the truth. He held up the banner of truth in the midst of Bethel again, and brought back the instruction and the word, the true word of God, to bring direction and instruction back to the house of God. Amen. He threw in salt to the poisoned well. And the Bible says in 2 Kings, I think 30, that the waters were healed. And once the waters are healed, fruitfulness comes back to the house. Come on. Fruitfulness comes back to the house. And if I'm lacking fruit in my life, it is not God's problem. What it is there a blockage in me? Is my well being polluted by something that stops the fragrance of Christ growing and the fruitfulness of Christ developing? Is there something that I've got to allow the fire of God to get out of me? And I will only know that when I get to the mountaintop and receive direction and instruction. Amen? The truth will make you. So when people speak the truth, sometimes it will irk people. Sometimes it will rub people up the wrong way. And you don't mean to do it intentionally, because what you're doing is you're just bringing out of your pure waters the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord that will convict. It's the word of the Lord that will chastise. It's the word of the Lord. I never intentionally want to go out to hurt someone. But if the, T.D. Jakes says it like this, if the word kills them, let them die. That sounds harsh. But because he's the God of resurrection, it's okay. I'd rather that thing die in them than keep living. Amen? Are you with me? So it represents a dry, barren place. Water speaks of the word. When we make the truth of the word become a truth that suits ourselves. Anyone ever done that? Anyone that can, we can manipulate the word to suit our situation? Yeah, we can. I can say it more. The Bible says you've got to submit. I've just twisted the word. It actually doesn't say you've got to submit. Even though she should. No. So we come out of context that's about the restraint. The sons of the prophet lived in the day. They lived and they knew what was happening. The problem was the sons of the prophets weren't prepared to cross over. The sons of the prophets weren't prepared to grab a hold of the mantle. The sons of the prophets weren't prepared to pay the price. Amen. Though they had revelation, they didn't have power. And I'm scared for the church. Because sometimes we act like the sons of the prophets. We're chasing knowledge and we're chasing word. And I'm telling you now, we're in a season when we need the authority and the power of God. We need the anointing to be flowing in the house of God in people's lives. We need to see people delivered and set free. Amen. I can't read that. To lift up the standard of the Lord in the midst of adversity, to see his kingdom come and influence people, families, and nations. And we have been left the mantle of Christ to do the work of Christ and see a people set free. Who believes that this morning? Who believes that the church is the answer to the problem? Well, three of us do. Is the church the answer to the problem of the world? Is Jesus? Yes. Malachi 4 and 5 says, "Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord." There has to be an Elijah company of people that hits the earth, a forerunner company that decrees and declares in the power of the goodness of God and the power of the anointing of God to set people free. Are you with me? Who will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, turn the children to the fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. Unless there's restoration, the earth is destined to be cursed. God wants to use you for restoration, for individuals, for families, and for Elisha, it was nations. Yeah? The Lord's mantle is here to refresh me, that should say, like Elisha. Help me to pick it up. That's my prayer. Help me to pick it up. Help me to cross over my Jordan. Help me to bring a fragrance of your spirit in the barren places. Help me to reveal and release Christ in my barren place, in people's barren places. Help me to bring a healing to the poison wells. Help me to deliver your word and not sit in the seat of the scornful. Because that's exactly what the scornful were doing when Elisha went to Bethel. They scorned him because he was bald. Be careful what you say about bald people. And it says, and two she-bears came out and killed 42 youth. 42. Because the house of God became scornful. The house of God started scorning people, men and women of God that were standing for righteousness. Hear me. We need to stand in righteousness more than ever before in this day. We need to lift up the banner in the house of the Lord. Amen. Please, be sons. Don't get so offended when someone says something. People are people. Hear me. People are people. One minute they'll be saying how great and wonderful you are. The next minute they'll be saying, crucify him, crucify him. And yet they don't even remember it. People are people. Your eye is on him. You're in your mountaintop. Amen. Help me to pull down the high places, the golden calves. Help me to walk in the mantle you have given me, in the power and authority of the Spirit, to fulfill the purpose of in establishing thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the purpose of God. That is why you have a mantle. That is why you have an anointing. The anointing is not for you just to prophesy and have visions. The anointing is delivered to you and you've been commissioned to set the captive free. Amen. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And then that's verse 20, I believe. And verse 27, 1 John 1 or 2, yeah, says, and you have an anointing and you know all things. How do I know that? because I went to my mountain. I've rested on his bosom. I've heard the voice of God, and I've stayed there. And he sent me down. And by being in his presence, I've been changed. I've been transformed. I am not the man that went up, but I will carry a level of glory that will reveal the Christ to the world. That is you. Amen. Let's stand. I've got about another 10 pages, but I won't go there. That is you. Do you believe that this morning? I really believe God wants to refresh the mantle of God upon your life. He wants to equip you. He wants to refire the mantle. But you have to have the faith to say, Lord, I'm coming into the fire. God, I'm prepared for your fire. God, a fire that will not consume me. A fire that will not burn me. A fire that will keep me. He wants to talk to his children. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you want a fresh touch of the anointing of God on your life, I can say that confidently because in the book of Acts, it says numerous times, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't just filled once. They were filled numerous times for the task ahead. If you need a fresh dose of the anointing of God for your life, if you want to be mantled afresh and be in that place where you can say, God, let the fire fall in me. If that's you this morning, so you can be effective coming down, shining with the glory that will bring change to the world. If that's you, by faith this morning, you might be saying, that's a bit hard. That might be too tough. Well, that's what Elisha said. It's a hard thing, but I'm going to receive it by what? Faith. Hallelujah. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill us afresh. Lord, I don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to sit in the seat, Father, of those who ridicule. Lord, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus. I want, Lord, what comes out of my well to bring healing to the poisoned wells of life. Father, you see our hands raised, and by faith we receive it by the anointing of God. I receive it. I receive it by faith. It's not by a feeling. I receive it by faith. By faith this morning. And Father, I purpose myself to come up to your mountain. I purpose myself to come up here. I purpose myself, Lord, to fulfill the invitation of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that, God, you want me to come down different. Different. And we thank you that your power and your anointing will flow through me to bring change to this world, that will fulfill the commission of my God, that will fulfill the purpose and the mantle of my God in Jesus' holy name. I receive it by faith. And if that's you this morning, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever you ask God for something, never wait for a feeling. Feelings will come, feelings will go. Feelings will lie to you. But the only thing that pleases God is faith. When you stand by faith, knowing that He sent the Holy Ghost to mantle you, He sent Him to mantle you. Amen? It's not something you have to beg Him for. I've just got to get to my mountain. Amen? God bless you. I really feel there's an equipping this morning. I really feel there's a clothing in the Holy Ghost. And you walk out of here with the mantle of God. Amen? And let people see the mantle on you. Not my personality, not my good conversations, not my friendliness necessarily, but the mantle of God. Amen? That will change someone instantaneously. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
That was so hard to cut that back. I did good. 40 minutes.